Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Doggone, it's great to be here, isn't it? Hey, you guys already met Sandy, but do you mind if I have her stand up? I just want to honor Sandy one more time. Boy, last week I put together a three-week series, and the second week was going to be the haymaker. The second week was going to be, oh my gosh, one of those, dear God, I'm good at what I do kind of messages. But I was laying in a hospital bed in St. Francis, so I just want to honor and thank Feliciano Trevino. You want to stand up? And Feliciano Trevino. Hey, Chano just moved into a new house, too, and I'll tell you what, it's a big old pad. It's got a swimming pool. So if it's not still raining, I want to invite everybody over to Chano's new pool. Let's have a pool party. What's the biggest party you've ever had at your house, Chano? We could have more than 140 today, can't we? I want to invite every teacher. Matter of fact, just stop by his house. It's at like 71st and 129th. Just stop by his house after every, he'll give you a snack. You can take a dip in the pool. He and Tara will rub your shoulders and keep encouraging you. Chano, great job the last Sunday. I'm telling you, great job. And then Wednesday night, my firstborn man-child, Taylor Shear, spoke. Taylor, you mind standing? Taylor spoke Wednesday night. Oh, and he had to tell me it was one of the biggest Wednesday nights we've had in a long time. And it's like, okay, we didn't tell anybody you were speaking, okay? Did everybody tell the guests that were coming in that I hold court here? It isn't like this. There's a dialogue going on here. awkward. But people said yesterday, these guys said, man, are you preaching tomorrow? And I said, well, yeah. And because I got a word, okay? No, it's because they got another young, great speaker that is ready to get up here. And I don't want to keep lining people up that are better than me. I got to take back the reins here. So that's what I'm doing today. So I want to go back and kind of backtrack a little bit. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that sounds like a mouthful. That sounds like it's a, and it really is, but it sounds pretty technical. Okay, so the rest of that chapter and what Chano so artfully delivered last week, last Sunday, is where the Bible goes through these people, these Old Testament characters, these people that they, by faith, Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Sarah, by faith Abraham, by faith, and went through and made it personal. And what it was like God saying, okay, what I want to do every time you read this, I want to invite these people from heaven and let them sit and you can interview them. Like, it's real easy. It's Noah, what is faith? And Noah said, man, faith is just being obedient. For 100 years, Noah was obedient to God to build that ark. And you know what? You're thinking, well, yeah, but he just built a structure. No. Do you understand? It's the first structure like that was ever built, number one. Number two, it was for a flood. And you think, well, yeah, but that's not that big a deal. No, it had never rained before. That's the first time it ever rained. And so he was just obedient. It wasn't anything that he could see. It wasn't anything that he felt. It wasn't anything that he'd ever experienced before. Okay, so now I want to go to verse 23. God, I thank you for your word today. It's life to us. It's health to all of our flesh. And it changes things immediately in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. Now listen. And they were not afraid of the king's command. Underline that. Highlight that. Circle that. Write that down in your notes. Notice it's small case K. The king's demand. The world's command. They weren't afraid of it. Man, see, we look at it. And the bottom line is the big key for us to be positioned. And this is the title of this series. Positioned to win it all. You know, I think it's easy for us to put together these talks that for us to be positioned to win. Let me position you to win. No, I want all of God I could get. I want a big victory every single day in my life, no matter what hits me. Even after a week like this, and I know everybody in here goes through those kind of times, but I'll just tell you something right now. If we don't cast away our confidence, there's great reward. And the Bible promises that if we don't give up hope, man, if we don't cast that away, you know what? We're going to see God's promise. A big key for us to be positioned to win it all is to take the authority God has given us over fear. Fear is the paralyzer. Fear is the neutralizer. Man, you think about what you're going into, you teachers that are going into a new classroom. Man, I'm just telling you right now, you've got to take authority over that fear. Man, there's not any kind of timidity. Man, God is equipping you. God, you are well able to do what God's called you to do. And let me just tell you, I'm believing God for miracles in your classroom this year. I'm believing God for kids that have been diagnosed with learning disabilities to overcome those disabilities and be able to learn proficiently in the name of Jesus. Anybody with me on that? And I'll tell you, because there's got to be hope in homes. And you teachers are providing hope every single day. See, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, now listen, the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Man, we may not be able to see God, we may not be able to feel God, but we know God. Everybody say, I know God. Man, how do we believe in something so passionately that we've never seen? Why? Because God's made himself so real to us. It's more real than what we do see. It's more real than how we do feel. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses, man, what is faith? It's real simple. It's four simple things: refusing, choosing, forsaking, and enduring. That's what faith is. See, that's what it is personally. I want you to think about what faith is for you today. Man, if somebody was hanging off a cliff by their fingernails and they said, man, Bill, what's faith? I want them to know what faith is to me. Where I'm not just kind of reciting some verse where I'm just saying, well, it's a substance thing so far, the evidence of things not seen. Hang on, bro. No, you know what? Refusing, number one, refusing the passing pleasures of sin that the world offers. Choosing, number two, choosing Jesus. Everybody say, I choose Jesus. Say it again. Say it again. I choose Jesus. Forsaking the bondage of the world. Man, I'll just tell you, and I guess I'm going to pick on teachers and coaches today. There's so much bondage in our classrooms. What you can and cannot do. How far you can go, where that line is. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't let that keep you bound. You can't choose the bondage of the world. What you've got to do is you got to forsake the bondage of the world. And then enduring trust in God. And you know, that simply is just an old school, old term truth, enduring faith. Let me tell you what I needed today. What I needed last week. What I needed last weekend. Man, I needed enduring faith. I needed faith that could endure whatever. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as to by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. Listen, the enemies of your life can't handle the route that you're taking. You trusted God in the promises, and let me tell you something, sickness and disease, poverty and infirmity, depression, let me just help you. If you struggle with depression, depression can't handle the route that you're taking with God. Depression can't handle that. Who through faith, go ahead, Chano.
Kingdoms worked righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Think about that list right there. Oh my gosh. Man, all these men, these Old Testament saints, before the promise had come, before Jesus, they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promise, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Go.
Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth.
And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Listen, understand this. Everything about it in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of what's to come. God held the promise back. Listen. Because Jesus hadn't come. But listen to this. God having provided something better for us. Do you see that? We can't relate to those Old Testament characters. Why? Because God has provided something better for us. Just in your heart right now, close your eyes. Just put your hands to your chest and just say, God, you got something better for me. There's something better. There's something so much better. God having provided something so much better. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. God kept his perfect will for us through Jesus. John chapter 12.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God, victorious. You hear me? Victorious. He sits at the right hand of God. Let me tell you what we've got to do. What we've got to do is we've got to make sure that we are sure on what we're identifying with. What Jesus did when he went to the cross is he identified with us. He identified with our pain. He identified with our sickness. He identified with our torment. He identified with our depression. He identified with our guilt and our shame. Jesus identified with all that and went to the cross, okay? He rose from the dead so that we could identify with him. What are we identifying with? Not all the stuff that Jesus identified with. We're identified with his victory. Man, we identify with his, with the victorious life that Jesus won at Calvary. See, if you'd ask me, if you'd say, Bill, please, just make it simple. What is faith to you? Define faith to me. It's easy. Faith is overcoming adversity. That's what faith is to me. I know it's not very poetic. I know it's not romantic and flowery. But I'll tell you, what faith is for me is enduring faith for me is overcoming adversity. Faith is me being and staying in the right place. That's what faith is for me. You know, it's interesting. I've got to be in the lane God's called me to run in. If I try to run in Scott's lane, or if I try to run in your lane, I'm not gonna win the race. There's no end to the race for me. But let me just help you. The lane God's called me to run in, he's built me to run in this lane. He's built me to run this race. So now what do? I've got to endure adversity and I've got to stay in my lane. Faith. And finally, I'll just tell you, the end goal of faith in my life is to fill this house. And you'll say, yeah, you preachers, it's all about numbers. It's all about crowds. You're doggone right it is. I want to win every hurting person, every depressed person, every disadvantaged person, every neglected person, every maligned person, every marginalized person that there is out there. And there's a lot of them. Well, should churches be big? Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. There's a lot of hurting people out there. And you know what we're doing here? We're building an army. Man, what faith is for me is to build this house, God's house. You know why? It equates perfectly to me to populating heaven. I'll tell you, that's the sole passion of my life. So you'll say, okay, what are the steps? The steps are real easy. Let's get them in here. Man, everything we want to do, we want to get you in here. Well, what do we do when we get you in here? Get you to come back. Man, I hope you had fun. I hope you laughed a little bit. I hope God, it touched your heart. I hope God, you heard God's voice, the whole thing. But I hope you come back. Because if you come back, we can help you. This room's full of people that had medical issues. Last week, I was one of them. And what I'm telling you, my next step is, what do you got to do? I got to get back. I got to get back to church. Man, you ready to go home? Yeah, I'm ready to go home. Because it's not just my house on 79th Street. It's my house right here in the Broken Arrow Expressway. Man, I got to get back with my family. Yeah, it's not just Sandy and our kids and grandkids. It's this church. Why? Because this is an army of believers that know how to trust God, know how to believe God, know how to provide the resource that God's given them. Man, we had Kevin Stidden here at 9:30 who's running for governor. He's a dear friend of mine. Let me tell you, the most humble, the most selfless, one of the most successful people I've ever met. Why a guy like that would run for public office, just, it's got to be God. See, we look at it, it's good. Why? Because I want to be around that kind of people, humble and selfless and faith-filled, trusting God with everything in them. Not living life at the end of your rope. You know, that's what's a catchy phrase from the world is, man, when you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot. No. When you're at the end of your rope, man, look, because there's going to be a hand that's reaching down for you to pull you up, and it's from right here. That's who God's called us to be. Man, what's faith? What's faith to me? I'm enduring adversity. The world's going to throw the kitchen sink at us. And you know what I say? I say, bring it on. Because the righteous have never been forsaken. His seed has never begged bread. We're the head and not the tail. We are above only and never beneath. You ready for this one? Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. The Bible says everything we put our hand to prospers. Yet no weapon formed against us ever will. Yet did that weapon prosper? No. The enemy took his best shot, and guess what? I'm here. And you know what? You say, well, you tried to prove a point. You're doggone right I am. And you know what that point is? God's faithful. God loves me. Man, this enduring faith that God's given us, no matter what comes our way, man, you may be in one of the most depressing situations. Let me just tell you, you don't have to tie a knot in the end of your rope. All you got to do is look up where your help comes from. And what God's going to give you is God's going to give you a partner that's going to have his hand down, that's going to be pulling you up. See, that's what the church is. That's why we want you to come back. Yeah, you know what? We'll help you with classroom supplies. But that just scratches the surface of what God can do in your life from right here. Man, we want to equip you to have the most incredible school year you have ever had. And you know what? We're going to champion you. Anybody ask me? Pay the teachers. Pay them. Let's make those Texas teachers jealous of us. Let's have all the best ones of the Texas teachers trying to get up here and stand in line and be teachers' aides to teachers here. Yeah, you know, a leopard doesn't change its spots. Man, I'm a big-time Philadelphia Eagle fan. And you'll say, oh, isn't it great they won the Super Bowl? It's like, yeah, you're kidding me? That's what they play for. Well, were you a Philadelphia Eagle fan as a kid? No. Matter of fact, I think there were times I hated the Eagles. I was from St. Louis, and when St. Louis had the Cardinals there, the St. Louis football Cardinals, they were rivals of the Eagles. I didn't like the Eagles. I didn't like anything about them. Well, what changed your mind? What changed your heart? Oh, my daughter married a football coach. He got a job with the Eagles. He's a quarterback coach of the Eagles now. Guess what right now? I went to the tailgate party yesterday. You know, I had Eagle gear on. I'm an Eagles guy. I'm waving an Eagle flag. And you'll say, well, what kind of fan is that? That's a fan that's attached to family. And see, and that's our key. That's what this is. Man, you guys that are in here, you teachers, you coaches, you administrators, you visitors, you got fans in here because we're family. If you're going through it, we want to help you through it. Because God's able. Because God's faithful. And he's given us the faith to receive what he's promised. Is that good for you? I'm glad you came. I'm really glad you're here. Just understand, you're not alone ever. You're only alone if you choose to be alone. We're in your corner now. And you'll say, well, but preacher, you're biting off more than you could chew. Man, you ask anybody that's been here for any length of time at all, that's what I do. That's what we do as a church. We bite off more than we could chew. But you know what? God's able. God's faithful. And he's given us the faith to receive his promise. That's all that matters to me.